routers, networking, things in general. I mean, there's been a lot of posts on the forums lately about problems people are having with their certificates, routers, UPnP, possibly switches. Just a lot of a lot of problems, and we probably all know a few tricks here and there about how to get around things. But I was hoping maybe we could talk about those tricks maybe that we use, like resetting a router, right down to factory, and then maybe importing the settings back, those kinds of things. So, yeah, that's kind of what I would like to talk about. If anybody has anything they want to, could bring. Like, we could talk about routers.
Rich, did you get a chance? So on Thursday night, it was just Gary and I on the Home Tech Podcast, and Gary's got a fairly unique setup at his place where, he's hosting that subsonic server, and so it's acting, his ISP must be allowing at least some kind of, right, because my ISP will block port 80 from folks coming in on port 80. So I guess, I don't know, John, you've messed around with that with him maybe. I guess I don't know how he's doing that to make it work, or has he bought a business line, or do you know?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, I guess when you click on his link, right, so it's HTTP, so it's probably going in on port 80, so he's not getting it blocked, so which means he must be paying that extra bucks, because I know in my case, that's it, they block port 80, so if you want to get into my server, you got to go HTTPS, and but then they have a business account where it's an extra $30, and it's weird, because even though you technically you don't have a static IP address, it's like your IP address, it's rare that it's going to change. Like in our case, on the cable modem, I don't know about DSL there, but on the cable modem, it's usually always the same IP address. But the thing is that they don't guarantee that, and then they also block the incoming on port 80, unless you pay the extra $30, and then it's a business line, and then it's definitely a static IP address, and then they open up port 80. But that's it, because some of those guys, they don't want you to set up Outlook or an Exchange server at home, to do your email and stuff like that. They don't want you, that's it. They don't want you to be receiving traffic. So, but he must have that business line. I mean, if he can have one of those computers, I'm sure he'll pop the extra $30 to to get the line. So, and then he's like 30 up, 30 down, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, well, I don't have that problem. I can set up a server here, and they do not block port 80 on my ISP.
I don't think mine does either.
Yeah,
you can run a check,
John?
I think, right? Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted a little correction. What happens is that, because you mentioned the HTTP and HTTPS. Well, the HTTPS is only for like the SSL encryption. You're actually still using HTTP :// whatever, and you just add :, whatever port you want. So the ISPs are not going to block, even though they're blocking port 80, you're using port 8080, whatever, 8081, 8000, whatever, but it's still HTTP. It's not HTTPS. It's not encrypted.
Yeah, that's right.
The thing is, I think when you make, when you're at your computer and you make a call out, you open port 80, you go out. So you're making a request, and then that, to whatever, let's say Walmart, and then Walmart's coming back in because it's expecting a thing.
Well, actually, no.
No?
No. No, what happens is when you're connecting to a web port, a web server, you're connecting to their port 80. You're not using your port 80. You're going out some random port that the router decides what port it's going to go out. So let's say it's like 4,100, and you have another computer on your network that might be using 4,101, another one 4,102. So it goes out all those different ports. It goes to their server on port 80, and then when it comes back, it says, well, who is he sending it back to? Is he sending it back to port, let's say, 4,000? Oh, okay, well, that was computer 1 that was asking for that. And if you have comes back on 4,102, he knows that it's a different computer that made that request. So really, the ports that are going out of your machine is not really port 80, just because you're connecting to a server at the other end that is using port 80.
Yeah, but aren't those ports, those like you talk about the different ports number, that's handled at your router?
Well, doesn't the router actually maintain, like keep a copy of every outgoing connection? So if I'm on, if I'm on 192.168.1.30, we'll say, and I make a HTTP request from a server, when it comes back, the router's going to say, well, let's see, who was this? And it will say, oh, it came from this internal IP of 33.192.168.1.33. That's the way I've always understood it. And that the router the router sees who is making that request and says, oh yeah, 33, you're making a request to Google, for example. And so when Google responds with that that page, the router says, okay, who's this for? Oh, and it comes back in the header saying, oh, this came from your internal IP of 33. But now you got me wondering if it's actually coming back in the header saying, yeah, this is your guy here on internal network 192.168.1.33. Maybe it's not doing that. Maybe what it's doing is kind of what you said, like you use a different port. I'm not actually going out on port 80. I'm going out some random port between, 65, K worth of ports, one of those, right?
You got it right. It's a combination of both. Because what happens is you have that NAT, right? You have the network address translation. So what happens is that your computer is asking for it on his internal IP address, like you said, 1.33, and he sends it out, and then when it comes back to the router using the external IP address, your router says, oh, okay, well, this is for this computer, whatever IP address it is, and his web browser is actually was talking to that website on this port, because I could have my subsonic on port 8000, some other thing on some 8001 or whatever, and I'll connect to those ports, and I'll still have the same IP address, and I'm coming back, and I'm connecting right to multiple websites that are all running on port whatever 80, and when it comes back to me, well, this one browser might be using port 8000. The other one might be using 8001. So it's a combination of both.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought.
But sometimes it gets a little bit complicated, So it's like when you start explaining that to people, it's like, It's like, that's too much information.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so your internet service provider, when they're blocking requests like port 80 inbound to your router.
Yeah, that's it. But they'll also block, let's say, port 25 outbound. So they won't let you send out email to any server on port 25 except them.
Yeah, because 25 is usually the default for what? What is it there?
For
what
email. For email.
Hey, it's isn't like
SMTP.
SMTP. Yeah, that's it. SMTP. And like usually, and then 110 is what? 110, port 110. POP3. POP3. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about networking was because of all of the problems I was having between my router and Windows 2011 server and Windows Home server. And, I was doing all kinds of things trying to get my connections to work. What I was trying to do was access the remote web access page on Windows Home Server 2011. And that's the page that shows you maybe your computers, and then it'll show you your folders for your shares, and then it'll show you media. So I was having a problem getting media to come up at times. I was having problems just even connecting. It was saying the certificate wasn't valid. For that one there, I couldn't figure out what to do about it. So what I did is I just said, okay,